From Brooklyn, New York, this is Jarring Segue, an in-depth look at issues sent in by you, our listeners, and woven together in a jarring way. This week's theme is remixes. As always, your host, Beth Hicks. I am joined by
Scott Austin.
And the newest member of Jarring Segue.
She was
on the podcast before, but now she is officially the third to our duo, the third. I don't know what the fuck I'm saying.
You're coming up empty there.
I'm coming up empty.
She's like the third boob.
The third boob. She's the third nipple on Mark Wahlberg's chest.
Whoa.
Everyone, please welcome
Amy Walensky.
Thank you, Amy. Amy, of course, has joined us before and is so graciously agreed to be the third.
It was just too much fun, guys.
Yeah, we do have a little bit too much fun. But
just saying.
And so in honor of the fact that we are kind of remixing the podcast now, two ladies and a man instead of two men and a woman, it's nice to not be outnumbered by dudes.
Point out that you were a woman by yourself, but together we're ladies.
Yes, that I am never a lady on my own. Not ever.
She rarely drinks tea or wears doilies on her shoulders.
Doilies?
Who puts doilies on their shoulders?
Doilies.
I thought you were gonna go gloves.
Yes.
And gloves.
I like the idea of epaulets.
She does. Yes, that's what I'm imagining you with.
Doilies is epaulets on my shoulders.
Yes,
I pretend
that's
to be
what all ladies do.
I'm in the army of ladies with doilies on my shoulders instead of epaulets. Excellent.
Would be an amazing army.
It would be. We would get things done so efficiently too, and so perfectly.
This went off the rails real quick.
Yes.
We're remixing the army.
It is a remix, after all, but I think
and the Golden Girls.
I think it's important to define a remix first. What exactly is a remix? And according to Wikipedia, it's actually where I got my college education. A remix is a song that has been edited or completely recreated to sound different from the original version. For example, the pitch of the singer's voice or the tempo might be changed, it might be made shorter or longer, or it might have the voice duplicated to create a duet. And a remix is kind of what you make of it, I personally think. And then there's some things that are obvious.
I think most remixes need this noise.
Chicka chicka wah!
Then, if it's got a then it's a remix. If it doesn't, less so.
I like to think that remixes can be beyond music, personally.
Oh, I think so too.
My favorite remixes are actually not musical.
We were discussing life and this podcast and the lovely weather we were having today while outside having a beer, and we made friends with the people at the table next to us.
Mm-hmm.
And the wonderful Alex gave us the question, like, you know, how do you remix your life?
Well, I mean, I have talked about it on the podcast before, so I won't repeat the whole story, but and I think I've talked to you, Amy, about it too, but just that my moving to New York, quitting my job, ending a relationship, moving out of the place I'd been in, subletting for a little while, and then moving and then selling all my stuff and moving to New York. It literally felt like, yes, I am remixing my entire life. I'm starting over. It was a kind of starting over, but it wasn't because I'm in my 30s, so I don't feel like I can completely start over. I feel like I have too much in my life that I take with me to fully clean slate it. So it is a kind of a remix. You have to work with what you've already got.
Yeah, we're a little like I went to an exhibit on The Little Prince a couple of weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
It's lovely.
Which
at the
I
Morgan
go see.
Library.
I really want to go to that.
Me too.
It's wonderful. Also, the Morgan Library kind of makes me sad about how much money that man had, because I just feel bad when I look in there. Because,
mm-hmm.
There are placards that are like, one of his three Gutenberg Bibles. And you're like, who needs three?
Dear
and
Lord.
I know he's
Dear
preserving
Lord,
them
literally.
For people. But anyway. But mostly just, it was a wonderful place, and their exhibit on The Little Prince is great. And it does, actually, it talks about, it shows chapters that were in the original manuscript,
mm-hmm.
that were taken out. So editing is a little like remixing, so I'm gonna make that tie.
Mm-hmm.
But the point I was really making is that there's the fox, and the fox is like, oh, well, you know, I can't really be your fox, because I don't want to be tamed, and that idea of taming someone. And by your 30s, I feel like we're tamed by things. Like we know what we want to hang on to, friends, parts of our lives. And so, yeah, when I moved to New York, I also didn't like wash my hands of mm-hmm. everyone I know and everything I've done before here. Whereas that idea when you're 18 of like mm-hmm. going to college, a lot of my students will feel like, oh, it's a fresh start. And yes. It's like, this just felt like a continuation in a new place.
Exactly.
I think, you know, to a certain extent, for me, I've moved around about every 2 years. Mm-hmm. And I've always moved for a job as well. Mm-hmm. But what it means for me is that I've really been able to kind of pick up and create a new group of friends. Not, you know, abandoning my friends beforehand. Mm-hmm. But I think having that perspective and knowing who I am, being able to say, those are the parts of me I want to leave in, you know, whatever city I just came from. Mm-hmm. And now that I'm here, none of the people I'm meeting know that part of me. So I get to reestablish myself. Mm-hmm. I'm not that different. At least I think I'm not that different mm-hmm. than I was, you know, 8-10 years ago. But I'm different enough that I'm more comfortable with myself. And I think that's really important. And I think that remixing your life, I mean, that really gives you the opportunity to do something different and to get rid of the parts of you that you don't, mm-hmm. that you aren't as proud of.
Yeah.
And make sure that you're being your best self or something like that.
I like that you said that with the look on your face. It was like, I can't believe I'm about to say this.
Yeah, it's such your a best cliche. Self. It's so like hippy dippy.
Now that I'm at my new school this year, I bike to work, and I was just thinking about this today. Like, my kids know me as this hardcore biker. Like,
I'm picturing you as a Hell's
not
Angel.
Not like now. A Hell's Angel, yeah. But like a hardcore Brooklyn hipster. I teach first period, forgetting to roll my pant legs down. Cyclist.
I love that.
Nice.
And that is not anything that anyone prior to this experience in my life would have thought of me as. So I see what you're saying there.
Yeah, and I mean like,
I remixed my life, Alex, by buying a bike.
And for me, I think, you know, it's more little things, I guess. Mm-hmm. I was a giant prude till I was about 22 years old. Like, you could not talk about sex within, like, 50 yards of me without me, like, freaking out.
I just rewrote the whole Jack and the Beanstalk story where instead he, like, gets to the top and, like,
and
the giant is just, like, a sex worker. Like, Jack is a sex worker.
Oh.
And the giant is like, no, go away. And he just like keeps like stealing the lube, like instead of the gold.
I feel like
fairy tale erotica is what's happening
like,
over here
I
right
feel
now.
Like I just took acid.
I'm remixing some Aesops.
Have you read Politically Incorrect Fairy Tale?
Oh,
yes,
great.
And I've read Fairy Tale Erotica.
Mine
read fairy tale
are not
erotica.
Politically correct. Mine are Fairy yeah. Tale Erotica.
I've read Fairy Tale Erotica, so it's you know.
The book Wicked is essentially Fairy Tale Erotica.
No, it's not.
Oh,
not
there
close.
Are some scenes that I blushed
nope.
during.
Nope.
Well,
sorry,
but you
I've
blushing
read,
during a scene and it being erotica,
I've,
I think are two different.
I've read real Fairy Tale Erotica. It's not. The same thing.
There is an erotica book that I found on a bookshelf once and have bought for many friends. It's coming your way soon.
I'm really excited to read this now. Guys.
It is a collection called Fangs for the Mammaries.
Nice.
Oh.
Vampire erotica for women.
Well, that's not that.
Fangs
I mean,
for the
yeah,
Mammaries.
But what it made
but
me think
title
of.
Is
yeah,
like
but, yeah. I
haven't
right hurt
down.
My boobs.
I don't
want to
get bit
did.
The boob. I don't want to get bit. Well, I mean, like with fangs. I actually should stop talking, otherwise
yeah.
I would feel too much
so,
about my life.
I mean, what I was saying was that I was a prude until I was 22, but people that met me now wouldn't necessarily know that. I
no,
still have...
shit, the no video games girl was a prude until
22. You know what? Shut up. She did sing Mario Kart at the beginning. That may get edited out, but you were definitely humming a little Mario Kart.
Yes, I was.
Okay. I'm sorry, do you mean
Mario?
Let's not go down this rabbit hole again. Kart. Let's move on. But... when I, you know, I think it surprises people that know me now to learn that about mm-hmm. me. But at the same time, it's because I know my own comfort level.
Mm-hmm.
And so there are points at which I will stop a conversation because suddenly it's past that point with which I'm comfortable. And I think that probably comes still sooner than most people when they're getting into those kinds of topics. And that's just kind of carryover. But at least, like, I'm not actively freaking out and running away at any given point. So there you go. All that right. related somehow. I don't remember how.
And Alex went to Thailand.
Hey, Alex. Yeah, good for you. Good
on
you.
On a Fulbright scholarship. Well That's done, Alex. True.
She's a show-off. Sorry, Alex. So I think it would be, we would be amiss, though. We jumped right over music.
But we should go back.
We would be amiss to not talk about... Remiss?
Remiss. Not amiss. Remiss.
I'm remixing the English language.
Yes, you are. Because we would be remiss.
The literature teacher. Continue.
I teach literacy, and...
We would be remiss.
I make up a word every fucking episode.
Listen. Don't tell your kids to listen. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. Oh, my students do not know about it. Some of my former students did. They listened to the first episode, and someone was like, this reminded me of Supa class. And I was like, how did I not get fired? I was like, I say blowjob at least once an episode.
There you go.
Done.
I was...
Perfect.
So, let's start with Bean's question. What is the most famous, popular remix we can think of?
R. Kelly's remix to Ignition. Best song ever. It was my jam. I think somewhere after my freshman year of college.
Beth, are you going to kill me if I say, like, let's hear a little bit of this?
I will. Edits. Well, I will not kill you, even though I hate giving... I will not pay for... Somebody better have R. Kelly's music, because I will not pay for his music, because I don't like supporting him, because he's a D-bag.
Yeah, but his music is so good.
Yeah, but
he's a pedophile! Not just R. Kelly's remix to Ignition, but he then also just recently, and by recently, I mean within the past couple years, did another album where he did a remix of a song called When a Woman Loves, I believe, is the song, and it's, again... Such a good song.
I knew someone who was obsessed with one of his concert videos. I think it was the Out of the Closet.
Or Trapped, like, in,
Trapped in the Closet. Not Out of the Closet.
That's not a concert video. That's just a video.
No, it wasn't that one.
I believe that is a hip hopera.
No, a hip hopera?
No, it wasn't. He wasn't obsessed with Trapped in the Closet because it wasn't the video. I know exactly what you're talking about, but there was an actual concert video that he was like, he would watch all the time. And, oh, R. Kelly's just so gross. But I will agree that it is the most famous. I will agree with you, absolutely.
But then it's a jam that, like...
I don't know. I'm thinking my vote is still going for the Fugees cover of Kill Me Softly.
Ooh. But that's a remake. I wouldn't consider that a remix.
Yeah, because you're right.
That's just they a flat do not. Yeah. That's a flat
yeah,
out
Yeah, covers
remake.
Don't count.
That's a flat out
Yeah, like,
cover.
I mean, if you listen to Ignition, it's not a good song. And it's not at all sounding like remix to Ignition.
Yeah, okay.
You know, like, that. Those are completely different things.
Yeah.
I mean, okay, you're right.
Yeah, and I think a remake falls in a very different kind of category.
And it is interesting to think of what's the difference between a cover and a remix. And to me, a cover is just taking a song that already exists and doing it can be in a slightly different genre, it can have a slightly different tone, but it's still pretty much linear, follows from
I just imagined adding a polka band behind just about every current pop song. Katy Perry's roar to a polka is great.
Okay, but there are artists that do this. You've got, you know, like your Richard Cheeses and your
Postmodern
similar...
Jukebox. I love
Postmodern
them.
Postmodern Jukebox is amazing.
They are Scott Bradle or whatever his name is. I don't know.
Postmodern Jukebox is amazing.
But those
Sorry
I
for
would,
killing your name, dude.
Those I would consider remixes because they're really taking the song and completely making it sound dissimilar. You know, or Jonathan Coulton's cover of Baby Got Back.
Yes.
That Glee then covered.
Yes.
I would consider that a remix because it's a different song.
Exactly.
My friend Carrie has like a cover of Radiohead's Creep that Carrie Manilakis, you should check it out on the YouTube.
Maybe we'll tweet that out.
We really should. It's wonderful. But yeah, so I will agree. You've got to keep the original sound and just add something to it. Layer something to...
Yeah, right. And yeah, like completely
like a polka band.
Changing, like a polka band, or completely changing the genre. You know, I mean, obviously the Fugees and Roberta Flack, you know, it was more hip-hop versus more the R&B soul kind of music. But again, to me, it's just a hip-hop cover of a Roberta Flack song, just like, you know...
Can you think of other covers? That is a cover that I think is better than the original.
I
can you think of any other covers? Better than the original.
You know, it's funny because every time I try to think about this
Tiffany's
one,
I Think We're Alone Now.
Yes, obviously.
Better than the original.
Yes, it is.
Scott's version that he's going to do at karaoke, better than Tiffany.
Best get me drunk.
Wow, nice.
We're on our way.
Nice. Oh, I actually, I know a lot of people won't agree with me, and of course now I can't even remember their name, and I feel like an idiot. I can remember the name of the song. I don't like the Rolling Stones version of Wild Horses. I love the cover of Wild Horses. It's really famous.
Adam Levine covers it.
The one from the movie Camp.
Oh, I'm...
No. Everyone's looking at me like I'm crazy. That's a really good cover, that song.
Despite my love for Anna Kendrick, I cannot stand that movie.
I watched it once and I couldn't see it.
It's bad. But it's a bad movie.
Such a good movie.
There's the song by... and I can't remember.
Alicia Keys and Adam Levine do cover the Wild Horses beautifully.
Actually, Alicia Keys' version of Wild Horses... with that is gorgeous, and I actually think that's better than the original too. But I'm thinking of a cover that came out in the 90s, and it's gonna drive me crazy. I'll have to look it up at a certain point. And it's just really beautiful, because I just didn't like the Rolling Stones version of the song, but I think the song is gorgeous. So it's like one of those things. I'm not a big fan of Mick Jagger's voice on it, but the song is so pretty that with the right voice, it's beautiful.
I had this fight with my friend Echo, who you may have
stop
heard
it
before. We had the same discussion last time. We don't need to go into it again. Mm-hmm. Her name is Echo. But she's a real Montana bluegrass girl. Mm-hmm. And I'm a, Long Islander who grew up on the Beatles. Mm-hmm. And she had never heard the Beatles version of the song I Will.
Yeah, I feel like you
and
should.
And she grew up on the Alison Krauss version, mm-hmm, and assumed that was the original.
Yeah.
And, mind blown, was not happy, and still to this day swears that the Alison Krauss version is better.
I would also say I like the Dixie Chicks Landslide, even though
I love, actually,
there's a gay card being taken away from me for saying anything against Stevie Nicks.
I love the Sundays. It's the Sundays who did Wild Horses.
Oh, I do not know this.
And it was featured in a the first time I heard it was when I was watching the episode of Buffy the Vampire Slayer called The Prom. And because I loved that show when I was growing up, and they played it, and it's just, and it was so beautiful. And I didn't know at the time that it was a cover of a Rolling Stones song. And when I went back and heard the Rolling Stones song, I was like,
I prefer Adele's "Make You Feel My Love."
Look, we can't talk about Adele. Or
yes,
we'll get into a fight.
Yes.
No, we'll get into a fight.
Oh my God, no! But
because
listen,
Beth doesn't have a heart.
Any song written by Bob Dylan, I'm sorry, generally sounds better when somebody else sings it.
I agree
with that wholeheartedly.
I mean, he's an incredible songwriter.
He can't sing,
but not a singer.
Nope, he's not a singer.
I feel the same way about Taylor Swift.
I liked when that's what I like about American Idol sometimes, with the voice, when they really make the song their own.
Yeah.
Yes.
Because Chris Allen did that with that same song, and he made it really great.
It's a great song.
I've watched two seasons of American Idol, so it's season 7 and season 3 that I know everything about,
and
then I don't let myself watch it because I will get addicted.
Yeah. All right, so back to the idea of remixes, though.
Back to the idea of remixes. Brett has said that he'll take any Backstreet Boys or NKOTB remix.
Which we call New Kids on the Block, thank you very much. I am of the generation where that was not short.
He texted in his answer, so I feel, or his comment, so
spell it out. Yeah.
I feel like he was lazy.
Yep.
Sorry, Brett.
You were lazy.
Mm-hmm.
He knows that.
I'm just clarifying.
But has a problem with remixes that sound the same.
Well, because then it's not a remix.
Yeah, it's not a remix.
If there's no change in it, then you're not really doing a remix. You're simply doing a copy, and that's not the same.
When they put the ns, ns, ns behind any song by Summertime
Phoenix.
Sadness. What is her name?
Who?
Lana Del Rey.
Oh, yeah.
Or Summertime Sadness, that's popular, has the ns, ns behind
it.
Or her album release is slow cry with candle lights bathtub.
I mean, I think there is a difference between a remix, and then there's the DJ remix, which is just putting that underneath
right.
it. And there's the club remix, which is getting a little bit crazier
exactly.
than just the DJ remix. And that's just not my scene, so I'm not inclined to enjoy those.
Right.
I think that there are people that probably do enjoy them. I'm just not one of them. And I would like it to be a little bit more creative than that. To be fair, there are some DJs that do incredible remixes.
Right.
So I'm not trying to disparage all DJs or anything like that. But The club.
I love the idea of DJs like picketing outside of
We've pissed off PETA.
We pissed off the Pope.
Not this Pope. We've actually been pretty pro Pope.
Yeah.
But the last Pope, we were like, fuck him.
No. Listen, it's a new era, guys.
Mm-hmm.
We can feel however we want to feel about this Pope.
Yeah.
Word.
Yeah, I mean, I do think there's absolutely.
He's kind of remixing Catholicism.
Yeah,
though.
He is.
He's like, ladies and homos, welcome to the stage. Also, poor people. Like, yeah.
Well, his whole thing, I mean,
as much of a fan as Catholicism
as you can be of him. But I mean, one of the things I do appreciate about him is the fact that he has absolutely no. I think he went through and was like, we need to stop having these expensive robes. I don't need this expensive shit.
He was like, we're not doing fancy parties for you guys. This is not about that. It's supposed to be about humbling yourself.
And you've already got the fancy hats. Why do we need to throw a party?
Yeah, and he goes out like once a week and he will go into the city.
I like
city
to think of him going out once a week and like doing body
putting on
shots,
his street clothes.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe.
There was that famous, that really amazing picture of that man, that poor man who has that it's a genetic disease that it causes the there was somebody else. He had the disease that like it makes you look like tree trunks. Like it's that thing where it looks like you're growing bark on your skin. And he like basically held his hand and touched his face and like hugged him for like 10 minutes. Like no,
wasn't that just a scene in the Hunger Games?
Oh my god!
Also that.
Aren't you just describing
really
the Hunger Games?
What? Maybe
you're describing the Hunger Games.
Well, no, in the Hunger Games, don't you eat the person after?
Gross.
Not funny, guys.
Now, our last kind of musical question is: what is the best Jimmy Fallon remix that we can think of?
It's
coming in from my. Is she my cousin-in-law? If she married my cousin, or is she just my cousin?
She's your cousin. Just
my
cousin.
I mean, how much do you like her?
My cousin Megan.
Yeah.
Asked us about Jimmy Fallon remixes. Like, what's she's like her profile picture? She might be a little too obsessed. Might need some therapy or someone to.
Listen, I support your obsession with Jimmy Fallon.
Okay.
I'm pro Jimmy Fallon. I think he deserves to be obsessed.
I loved his when
you're
he
asking
had
me. I made up a word.
A mess. I'm not a big fan of Mariah Carey, but when they did All I Want for Christmas Is You with Mariah Carey and the Roots on the children's instrument, it was so good.
Yeah, the best one really of those was definitely Call Me Maybe. I mean, like,
I really liked the Miley Cyrus.
That was not with school instruments. That was just a cappella.
No, that was a cappella with the Roots.
Because that was the Brady Bunch. Yeah. Was it the Brady Bunch?
Yeah.
Frozen is lovely. The Frozen with Idina Menzel.
I don't think it worked.
I thought it was cute.
I thought it worked.
Okay.
But my favorite remix that he's done is the Brian Williams.
Oh, that
remix
is brilliant.
Rapper's Delight?
Yeah.
What they do? And it's in freaking incredible.
Yeah. Joe, our logo designer, has suggested that we remix some Jarring Segway podcasts, and that's immediately what I thought of.
Joe, if you ever want to do that, I'd be more than happy to pass the reins to you, but
the editing reins?
Yes, exactly.
So Beth, that's what you're going to do next. Here's the Gettysburg Address, as said by Jarring Segway. I'm not sure we've ever said score.
Yeah, just did.
We must have.
Yes. Thank you for picking the short speech, at least.
Now, can I just, you know, like, little plug for the station I work for. There is a program that we air on New York Public Radio. It's part of our family. That's called Studio 360.
I love Studio 360.
Great show.
Yeah, it's great.
They've been doing a lot of remix contests lately. They did some like remix springtime last year, and they provided a bunch of outdoor spring noises, and people remixed them. They were amazing. Yeah, and then they did Remix the Mayor during the mayoral elections.
Nice.
And they had speeches by the different mayors of New York, and they let people remix those. They've done remix photo contests and stuff like that. So I think it's great to see people being creative with that, but like wanting to share that.
Yeah.
And say like, hey, let's all take exactly the same stuff and see what we can come up with.
Right. Absolutely.
I love it.
That is good.
Yeah. It's good times.
Word. What about Sesame Street remix? Like, us talking about the roots with children's toys made me think about Sesame Street and how, like, people will guest star and...
And they'll, like Feist.
Feist's 1, 2, 3, 4, counting to the number 4.
Monsters walking back. Like, yeah. Past the door, or across the floor.
Chickens just back from the shore.
Is penguins?
I don't know, but it was so good.
Yeah, that was amazing. Yeah, but is that a remix?
Yeah, it's not really a remix, no. But I was just Nora Jones's Don't Know Why Y Didn't Come. And she's like got a picture of the letter Y and he's standing her up.
But can we go from Sesame Street to PBS's remix of Bob Ross? Bob Ross remix. Oh, they did a little Mr. Rogers remix. Mm-hmm. And that shiz was incredible. Rogers.
Check that out.
Yeah. We're gonna tweet so much about all of these links.
I know.
Now,
maybe even post on our Facebook or something.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Liz mentioned the idea of Chopped and Screwed.
So Liz is a coworker of mine, and she brought this up like as I was about to walk out the door to come meet you guys. And I was like, Chopped and Screwed, what in the world? And here's how she described it to me. She said that there were people that would like trip on cough medicine, and while they're tripping, create music. And remix things while they were high, essentially. And, you know, so I went and looked it up. And I think we got a little bit more detail on it. I'm not really clear.
I still don't quite know what it... I do think it's interesting that I've heard of one of the most famous people who's part of that scene is called DJ Screw. And I've heard of DJ Screw because of the voice. They were talking about the Houston hip-hop scene, the Texas/Houston hip-hop scene, and DJ Screw. And this is, he's this guy. Like, he was big into this. It says, Chopped and Screwed, sometimes called Screwed and Chopped or Slowed and Throwed, refers to a technique of remixing hip-hop music, which developed in the Houston hip-hop scene in the 1990s. This is accomplished by slowing the tempo down to between 60 and 70 quarter note beats per minute and applying
techniques. Also, Beth, could you slow this tempo down? You were speaking.
No.
So quickly, I can't process it.
I don't want anyone to get bored. It's accomplished by slowing the tempo down to 60 to 70 quarter...
By slowing the tempo...
Beth is not amused right now.
And then applying techniques such as... Such as skipping beats.
Such.
Record scratching.
As.
Stop time. And affecting portions of the music to make a chopped up version of the original.
So that's it. That's okay, you're done.
Okay, fine.
So the reason that this came up was because she sent me a link to the Gimme Pizza song.
Oh.
That Mary-Kate and Ashley Olsen.
Pizza Party, I believe is what it's called.
Okay.
It is Mary-Kate and Ashley Olsen, and then, like, of course, a random black kid. And
there's a random white kid in there, too.
And a random white kid. But they just start... They make a pizza, and it sounds creepy at first, and then it gets even creepier when they start adding things that they want on their pizza. And I say, of course, the random black kid, because she adds fried chicken.
Oh, Jesus.
And it's like, oh, you didn't.
Have you seen, like, the little clips on YouTube of, like, the most racist moments between Mary-Kate and Ashley Olsen?
No.
And, like, one of them was, like, the guy
they give
playing
fried chicken to
the
guy,
homeless black guy.
The guy, he might not be homeless. He's just a, I almost said magician.
Street
musician. And magician.
Well, so apparently this technique was used on this Mary-Kate and Ashley Olsen video, and it's creepy as all get up.
Every time I have a Facebook status about pizza or parties or fried chicken or twins, my friend Jackie will
we'll post play that video.
So if you find me on Facebook, you can, which thank God I have a generic name.
But thank God you can't spell mine.
There are a million Austins. I can't even say yours. I've known you for a year. You're still in my phone as Amy Tom's friend. True.
But speaking of this technique, though, have you guys heard the slowed down version of Dolly Parton's Jolene?
Yes.
Oh my God, it's incredible. They take it, so it's like a 45 record, and they slow it down to, I think, 33. And suddenly it's this, like, really haunting, sounds like a man singing, but, like, everything works. it's just like crazy good, but like you would never believe that it's Dolly Parton.
They did the same thing to, of all things, a Justin Bieber song, where they were like, when you slow it down, it's actually really beautiful kind of thing. And who would have believed it? Because it's, you know, Justin Bieber.
They also did it to an Alvin and the Chipmunks song.
Nice.
And it just sounded like real people.
It just sounded like real people.
Well, isn't that how they got Alvin and Chipmunks?
Yes. Yeah, okay. Exactly.
Uh-oh, that you were making a joke that I missed. Sorry.
That was a humorous commentary from the resident jackass.
But the other cool thing is that if you speed up Bruce Springsteen, he sounds like Dolly Parton.
That's, oh my god.
Huh.
Yeah, they've got that online too. You can Google that one.
I love it.
I kind of wonder what I sound like sped up, but not to the point where I think anyone should do it.
No, please don't. Beth, don't do it.
I won't.
Nope.
I surely won't.
In our last kind of genre of questions falls into food. Like, what is a really good fusion food? Like, remixed,
mm-hmm.
a remixed menu, an interesting combo with mm-hmm. something that...
I had, which is not technically it's something that, because I am so Amera-centric, I didn't realize it was a thing, because I lived in the U.S., whatever. But I went to an izakaya in the city, and it's Japanese pub food. And that's not a thing that that's not the U.S. that is absolutely there in Japan. Like, it's not like it's something that was created for, you know, Americans or for the people in the U.S. It was something that's transplanted over from Japan. And Japanese pub food is amazing. It's
JPF,
amazing.
If you will.
Yes. And there's like a bunch, and I'd never heard of izakayas before, ever. And there's tons of them in the city.
What are they?
It's a Japanese pub.
No, and but so, what's the food? Like, what
so
do
the
you
food
eat?
Is everything. So the food is everything from sushi rolls, which, you know, we don't think it was pub food, but there's also like fried chicken. But it's
I'm thinking
Japanese
of that episode of the Gilmore Girls where they make dessert sushi with like jujubes and tootsie rolls.
Exactly.
I on my Facebook have some Easter sushi that I have made. That's before.
Fabulous.
It's Rice Krispie treats wrapped around peeps and covered on the outside with fruit roll ups.
Love it.
That actually sounds gross.
Yeah. I mean, it looks cute.
I kind of want to vomit.
Yeah. But yeah, so like the pub food is both a mix of traditional Japanese food, but also stuff that we don't necessarily think of like the fried chicken. But it's fried specific, you know, it's got a very specific way it's done. Mm-hmm. And it's delicious. So it is my new favorite thing, even though it's technically not a fusion. It's just something where I don't put those two together.
It's
when
just,
I think of pub, I think England.
It's
I
just
think
like... you breaking out of your ethnocentric
exactly
shell.
It's me realizing Beth, wake up, you know, pub is not limited to Ireland, England, what have you. But I just, and then so I absolutely loved it. But what about you two? What's your favorite like blender?
So my brother used to joke about wanting to start a restaurant called Que Pasa Kielbasa, that was Mexican Polish. But I do like when like a good old kielbasa or Polish sausage or sauerkraut is used in places that it shouldn't be.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry. That just got real dirty in my head.
Well, let's say.
Fact that I didn't go there.
I was thinking that, okay,
tired.
So there is a taco place a couple blocks from me that has a fried chicken taco, mm-hmm. and they've got like coleslaw and fried mm-hmm. chicken tacos, and that's delicious and it shouldn't be. So that's what's coming to mind for me at the moment.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I think it's really hilarious because in D.C., in the neighborhood that we lived in before I moved out of there, we had restaurants that we referred to as the Chinese chicken seafood subs.
Yeah.
Because they had everything.
Yeah.
So that's not really fusion. That's just more like catering to the mass population.
Catering to anyone who's drunk.
Yes. But I have to admit that I'm really excited that we're at Scott's place right now because my favorite Thai fusion in the world is literally right across the street from here, which apparently you have never eaten that.
I have now.
You have now. Oh, well, you just ruined my whole thing.
Sorry.
But it's quite fantastic because nothing is like heavy and greasy like I normally associate. Like pad Thai sometimes is like a little bit like orangish and greasy, whereas their pad Thai is like delicious.
But what makes it fusion?
I have no idea, but it doesn't taste like any other Thai.
They throw a meatball into every
that
dish.
Is not
so
true.
It's Italian Thai.
No, it's I mean, they refer to it as Thai fusion. It's, to me, I think it's, I don't know.
Yeah,
sometimes I do think fusion food is just kind of like lazy Americans' way of making French food or whatever.
I do think there also is a tendency sometimes to have the idea that this is Asian fusion. I'm like, Asia's a gigantic continent. Like, what Asian country are you talking about? You're most of the time, you're just talking about the fact that you wanted to throw, like, a little daikon into something, or you wanted to throw some, you know, Indian spices or blah, 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 whatever. It's like, Asian fusion is so vague. It doesn't mean, like, when restaurants say that, I'm like, that doesn't mean anything.
And actually, like, the fusion moniker in a, you know, description or a title or something like that can sometimes throw me off.
Yeah.
And I don't, I'm like, I'll avoid the place for that reason. Because, mm-hmm. you know, like, if I want French food, I want frickin' French food.
Yeah.
Like,
you want it delivered.
Yeah.
By a man with a little mustache.
He's wearing a striped shirt.
And a little red cravat. And,
he
you know,
brings it in a basket of his bicycle.
I just really want ratatouille is really what I want.
You want it prepared by our cartoon rat.
Yeah, pretty much.
Oh my god. Last night I was walking home. I had drinks with a guy and I was walking home. And I was kind of like laughing to myself and just having like a whatever conversation. And I heard a rattle.
That's a really good way to not get approached in your neighborhood, to make everyone think you're crazy.
Yeah, well, I'm already there. So but I heard a rattle at it because there was garbage right as I was walking past the garbage. I heard a rattle. And then three rats ran out at me.
Mm. Oh, I thought you were going to go rattlesnake with that one. And I was like,
no.
Because
no,
we live in Arizona.
They were, it was,
I don't know.
And like, I laughed, like, I'm not super, I mean, it was just more startling than anything, because I'm not actually scared of rats, and they weren't, it wasn't like they were coming at me, they just were running to get away, to like, run somewhere else. But anyway, sorry, you made me think of that with Ratatouille, and that is the close encounter of the rat kind that I had, that's the closest I've ever come to the New York rats, and I was like, because usually I see them in the subway, but they're down, we're up on the platform.
As far as desserts are concerned, speaking of rats, I don't want to talk about rats anymore.
Okay.
Austin suggested that we should be podcasting this while eating birthday cake remix from Cold Stone Creamery.
I don't like Cold Stone Creamery. I'm the only person. I find their ice cream kind of chemical tasting.
Yeah, I was going to say the exact same thing.
Yeah.
Like, there's a chemical aftertaste to Cold Stone that
I
enjoy.
I
would much rather get me like some coffee Heath Bar Crunch, Ben & Jerry's pint.
Or even just like I work for a publishing company and I'm working on an ebook right now that is the book put out by Ample Hills Bakery, which is in Brooklyn.
Oh, it's
and
mere blocks away.
And their ice cream is incredible.
You know
who
I like
really
better?
Local batch.
I'm gonna go to bat for Blue Marble.
Is that the one you took me to?
I took you to Blue Marble, not Ample Hills. Ample Hills is more Ben and Jerry's style, where the ice cream is good, but it's the shit that they throw in it that's interesting.
Hey,
whereas Blue Marble will just have like a very pure, like ginger or cinnamon ice cream.
Their
like one
strawberry
flavor.
Ice cream was heaven.
So in our neighborhood ice cream competition, I vote Blue Marble.
Like I said, I'm a big fan of ice cream in general, even though I shouldn't eat it because it makes me sick. But
no, who should?
No. I'm sorry. It makes me literally hurt. It makes me literally hurt.
Sorry.
So you
but
less shouldn't than the rest of us shouldn't.
Intolerant.
It's super fun. But
French Kiss, anyone?
Yes,
I've
I do.
She knew exactly where I was going.
Spasm!
No Scott.
Yeah.
Never have I ever watched
I've seen it multiple
that.
Times.
It's on HBO right now.
Yeah, I've seen it multiple times. But
so
but yeah, Cold Stone, like, I'm glad you agree with me because a
yeah,
lot of people
weird.
Don't. I think it's so
strange. There are times, we used to, when I was living upstate, I lived near one.
Yeah.
And people were like, oh, let's do Cold Stone. And every single time I'd be like, oh, that sounds delicious. And I'd be severely disappointed with it.
Exactly.
Every time.
Yep.
Every single time.
Yeah,
I'd much rather like just good old fashioned ice cream.
Yeah.
Now, Amy, your thought when we went to remixes was Shakespeare remixes into contemporary movies.
Yes.
So do we
the
have
best one is of all time.
10
favorites?
Things I Hate About You.
Yes. Which I saw in the theaters with my brother and
I'm
it was amazing.
I'm also gonna stand up for Scotland, PA.
What
the
heck
Macbeth?
Is that?
It's the Macbeth.
It's Macbeth in the 70s with
James LaGrosse and
Mara Tierney.
And Christopher Walken, I think.
Christopher Walken is Macduff and he's a vegetarian.
Uh-huh.
I've never even heard of this.
It's amazing.
They turn Duncan's, who made most of his fortune on his donut business, But Duncan's, his fast food burger place, mm-hmm. becomes McBeth's, and he invents the chicken nugget in the drive-thru.
It's just...
Amy Smart is the head witch. Andy Dick is one of the witches. She uses like a magic eight ball to tell his fortune. It's so awesome.
Is this a movie? Or yes,
it's
a movie.
It's a movie. It's an independent movie.
Wow. It's brilliant.
That came out like definitely 10 or 12 years ago. I mean, my favorite only because...
When I was no, it wasn't that long ago. I was in college.
Aww. No, I loved 10 Things I Hate About You. I thought it was so good. I felt, of course, where so many people fell in love with Heath Ledger, and I thought Julia Stiles was good. I'm not a big fan of hers. I thought she was really perfect for that movie.
Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
Joseph Gordon-Levitt was so cute.
So cute.
That movie once came on TV, and I had very recently come out, and I was sitting with my brother in my parents' living room, and the movie came on, and he was like, some for you, some for me. And I was like, yeah,
exactly.
True. Let's watch this.
Yeah. And it was so good. And it was funny because it was so popular, and critically actually did quite well. The critics were like, oh, this is a really great, fun remix of a Shakespearean play. And, you know, all the actors are great and the adult actors are great, whatever. And so not right after that, Julia Stiles did O, which was the teenage version of Othello, and that was terrible.
It was
terrible.
She was also in a version of Hamlet with Ethan Hawke that's also god-awful.
Yes, and Liev Schreiber was in that too,
I
think.
Yeah, the cast, you're like, oh, this could be cool, but they make it the Denmark Corporation. And I show it as a joke when I teach Hamlet. I'm like, guys, you've been working so hard.
Yeah.
Well, okay. Nicole was it at the bar just before we got here who blew my mind by letting me know that
The Lion King
is Hamlet, and I never realized it.
That's how I teach Hamlet. I'm all right, guys, it's The Lion King, but instead of everyone being happy and hearing the circle of life again, everyone dies.
Everyone dies.
And
except
Fortinbras
for two
takes
people.
Over.
Seriously, my world was rocked.
Yeah, no.
How has no one ever mentioned this to me before? I blame you all.
I like that. I mean, and it makes sense.
It is my fault.
Yeah.
Henceforth, in my life, I shall introduce myself by saying, hello, my name is Scott Austin. P.S.
I mean, the reason that it's interesting about the whole Hamlet thing is because the idea of the king betrayed by the brother... The son exiled is not unique to Hamlet. I mean, Shakespeare loved to steal his stories from other people anyway. So it's shades of Hamlet, but it's also shades of
50
other...
Shades of Hamlet.
It's 50 Shades of Hamlet, exactly. Which is really just a remake of, 17 times The Twilight, so...
17 times The Twilight.
Uh-huh, exactly, which is 17 times as bad as the original. But, I mean, it's one of the most fun... because they mentioned that in the Wikipedia article about remixes, that non-musical remixes are exactly that. Like
Clueless,
which is, of course,
so
Emma.
Good.
Clueless is Emma. And I actually prefer Clueless to the Gwyneth Paltrow version of Emma.
Yeah, you're wrong on that one, but,
I prefer it because I think it gets to the point of who Emma is better. Because it kind of shows her ridiculousness better. Whereas there's a redemption. Because you've read Emma.
Yes.
And if you know that she's actually quite ridiculous through the entire book, and
but that you miss those the great costumes and the fantastic accents and the badly done Emma, badly done.
Yeah, I don't know. The way it was crafted as a love story, I just was not. I liked it, but I didn't think it was actually as true to the book as Clueless was.
This Jane Austen talk keeps making me think about how delighted I was the whole time I was reading Pride and Prejudice and Zombies.
Nice. Pride and Prejudice was remade as Bride and Prejudice, a semi-Bollywood film with Martin Henderson. And
true.
Not good, because they tried to make it a musical. Not good.
Terrible.
When the same publishing company, different author, did Sense and Sensibility and Sea Monsters, it wasn't as good. But, it is a fact commonly known that a zombie in possession of brains is in want of... more brains.
Nice.
Brilliant first sentence. Rewrite. Remix. Nice. So that's the last of our questions. We wanted to do this remix game mostly for Amy, who's going to remix right now.
Oh my god, does that mean I have to...
Yes.
You have to remember and I will beatbox for you.
Sweet. Okay.
While you recap the episode.
Mm-hmm. I feel like I need to like actually do this to the beat or something, but I can't rhyme, so I'm not gonna rhyme. But we had some great questions, and now we're done, and I can't really remember what we actually talked about. This is a terrible idea. No, so we had some really great questions. We made some new friends at the bar before we got here.
We sure did.
So we got to talk about life and our life choices, and we got to talk about some great music and some pedophiles, and that got real awkward. And then we moved on to movies and books, and honestly, like, it was great because I feel like we all talked about things that we love and hate.
Mm-hmm.
So, well done, friends.
That we are passionate about. We remixed the passion.
Hey.
Yeah.
We remixed the passion.
I feel like this is a terrible ending, and maybe we should do that over too.
No, 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 no. There is no editing the ending, no matter how bad it is.
All right, Johan, you're welcome back now.
Yes. Johan, you can never... We will love you forever, you stupid jackass who moved to L.A. So anyway, thank you so much for joining us. This is our first podcast with our official new member,
Amy.
And as always, I am your host, Beth Hicks, and I was joined by...
Scott Austin.
And she just said her name. I'm not going to make her say it again. And you can find us on Facebook at Jarring Segway. You can add us on Twitter at Jarring Segway. You can listen to us on iTunes. Feel free to subscribe, and that way it'll download a new episode every time we post one. And as always, please continue to contribute your questions and ideas and thoughts. If you ever want to guest star on Jarring Segway, hit us up. Send us a message.
Also, we promise to do a shout out to the ladies at Raw Meat. Mm-hmm. Athlete's podcast is up and running. They just...
posted their third episode,
I think. Dropped episode 3.
Yep, so well done.
So if you liked our episode on space or our mini cast on the planetarium, check out Raw Meat.
Exactly. So, and Ashley, who did such a beautiful job of making me all melancholy about the stars. Anyway, so thank you again for listening, and tune in next time when we'll be talking about something equally spectacular to remixes. And spring is almost here, everybody. The days are longer, and enjoy the extra sunshine and the warmer weather.
Usually I don't do this, but go ahead on, break them off with a little previews of the remix. Now I'm not trying to be rude, but hey, pretty girl, I'm feeling you. The way you do the things you do reminds me of my Lexus cool. That's why I'm all up in your grill, trying to get you to a hotel. You must be a football coach, the way you got me playing the field. So baby, give me that and let me get that. Running her hands through my fro, bouncing on 24s. Why they saying I'm ready? It's the remix to Ignition, hot and fresh out the kitchen. Mama Ru-